Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
We open on a press conference being held in front of City Hall, where a woman in kind of the traditional pantsuit look, all slates. The one kind of defining feature is this straight black hair reaching down to her lower back. She is standing at the head of the podium, and behind her, we see someone that we would recognize. We see Seth Tridell also in a much more conservative suit than she arrived through the Amber Tower in. And the woman addresses the crowd. This would be a two-part announcement. The first part is with the help of the technologies of Saltharon. She kind of gestures back to Seth Tridell. We have developed the necessary technology to create the atrium. Something rather showily put, a super prison. We have generated the ability to lock off powers and house dangerous criminals within its walls. In the past year, there have been 8,673 separate counts of supers breaking out of more mundane prisons. This has to stop for the safety of the people of Halcyon City. The second announcement, I have announced my candidacy for mayor. And we see at the bottom the news ticker changes from a safety announcement to Lyra Leoncourt, director of the atrium and mayoral candidate. Joe, I am your GM here on Fifth Watch. You can follow me on Twitter at the Joe Hadfield, and you can check out my podcast, WTF Anime.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear_. And be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, on Ascent in this, and you can find me with, like, Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
Jace, it's been a few days. Ever since the discussion you had at the old train yard, you've been receiving constant updates about the state of the children being moved off to their homes. You know that Aiden has been taken into custody, and there is a court date set. Where do we find Jace?
Jace is in the library in God Ranger HQ. He is poring over legal texts. He is framing the case as best he can. He has pulled as much data as he can on Aiden, looking at every crime that he has been charged of, what he's been doing, why he has been doing it, and is trying to craft a case. He has bags under his eyes. It's clear he has not slept in a minute, but he also has this kind of fervor about him. He was glad that the meeting with the council went well and that they were able to get the help to those children in need.
As I suppose maybe Jace expected, you found very little information on Aiden before his arrival in Halcyon City. You, of course, are aware of what a big part of his life has been up in Bridgewall. Have you seen your team recently?
In the last few days, at least since the train yard incident, I have been texting them. I have, like, been keeping up with them that way. But unless my physical presence was required, no. I have been pointedly not texting Gwen.
I would like you to roll me a superior for the research that you've been doing on Aiden's crimes. Okay.
So that is an 8 plus my 2 superior is a 10.
Awesome. So you know pretty much everything. You know that all of Aiden's crimes have centered around theft, specifically targeting any money or any fronts devoted to the Zabatelli Mafia. It's been pretty clear to you that despite the earlier kind of thought of, oh, he's just a criminal doing what he can, he is specifically targeting less than legal targets for his crimes.
Under his breath, he goes, I think I can make a case. This is very much like the Bronze Ballista. And then, like, on his notepad, he wrote, failed this city. And he smiles to himself.
Damn it, Al. Mitch, how have the past couple of days been for you?
Sullen. Mitch has sent a lot of texts to Kronos. Emotional pleas, like, hey, how's it going? How are you feeling? You want to talk? Do you want to come by your clock tower? I can bring takeout. Pad Thai? You in a Pad Thai mood? All kinds of things. Silly pictures. Here's a bunny sniffing a daisy. How's that make you feel? Is that an improvement? He's given way to just distraction. He's probably been in his room a lot playing video games. Maybe his dad's busy with work this week, so his dad's not really around. He's just ordering pizzas for one, and playing, oh, what are video games teen boys like?
First-person shooters. Fortnite.
I think he wants to play, like, some sort of an espionage spy sort of game. Something sneaky. The concentration it takes to sneak, I think, is what he's looking for.
Like an Assassin's Creed kind of thing?
Sure, they're very well dressed in Assassin's Creed, as far as I can tell. They look very sharp every time.
He would appreciate the fashion.
The cloak game is strong, yes.
So as you're playing one of these games, your phone starts ringing.
Who is it?
It's not a number you recognize.
Okay. Yeah. I could give my eyes a break. I'm going to pause the game and I'm going to answer it. Hello?
Hi, is this Mitch Carver?
It is. Who's this?
My name is Sky. Let's just say a friend of a friend.
Okay, do you go to school with me?
No. Haven't been for a while.
What do you want?
I'm looking for Gwen Smith.
For what purposes? Are you on the rival high school's track team?
Just said I didn't go to school.
You can be a parent, a coach, a sponsor. You're not taking away Silverhawk High School's champion track team.
Is it that good? I mean, I guess that makes sense. All things considered, let's just hope my tone is implying things that I don't need to say.
What do you want out of Gwen?
I can't find them.
Where are you looking?
They need to see some information that they had hired me for. Let's go with that.
Okay. All right. You're going to send this to me, and I'm going to pass it along securely. I can promise you I will see it, and Gwen will see it. Nobody else will see it. If you're already using me as a go-between, you're committed to keep it that way.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay.
It's kind of analog. Can I meet you somewhere?
You can't put it on a cloud. I'll take a flash drive.
I could, but then the information exists in places I don't want it to.
Fine.
You have a reputation, as it were.
Acceptable. Okay. All right, I will transfer a package to Gwen like it's 1912. Okay, fine. We're gonna meet outside the Dancing Fountains outside Northridge Mall.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna see you there at 8 p.m. You know who I am. You know what Mitch looks like. How am I gonna know you?
Wow. You're asking a girl to send a picture. It's forward. I like it.
I think Mitch stammers in spite of himself. It's like, well, you don't have to send a picture. Like, what are you... Oh, no, I can't say what are you wearing.
Meet cute. Meet cute. Meet cute.
Can you put a flower in your hair or something? I've seen that in, like, you know, old movies. That's how people would know when they were meeting someone. Flowers, usually. Handkerchiefs? Do you have a handkerchief?
Not that wouldn't look super out of place. I like the flower idea, though.
Okay. 8 o'clock, Northridge Mall Dancing Fountains, a girl with a flower and some sort of a package.
That'll about describe it.
Okay. I could say no tricks, but...
Oh, well, You're probably more prepared to do that sort of thing than I am.
I'm not going to trick you either. I'm Gwyn's friend. I think if you've been hired for something, it must be with a good reason. And I'll trust you that far.
I will see you then.
Good evening.
And she hangs up.
I don't know if Mitch knows what to do with girls outside of the strict confines of you and I are assigned study buddies. We have to do this report on the Crimean War, something like that. He checks that his cologne is still fresh, and he combs his hair. He looks at himself in the mirror. He looks great. He always looks great. He's going to kill some more time playing video games.
So, Jason?
Yes?
It, too, has been a few days.
Okay.
You are... How do I want to say this? You're at your foster parents' house.
Okay, that's fair.
So, Rupert?
Yep. Accurate.
I'm not saying you're right, but you're not wrong.
How has Jason taken the kind of... turbulent meeting he had with his new friends?
Not great. Honestly, he feels very much stranger in a strange land, and like the team seemed like they were trying to accept him and whatnot, but he felt very much the outsider. And then, you know, he might have accidentally terrified all of them on purpose. Maybe not the smoothest move. It was lost in translation. We'll call it that. He's been too afraid to contact them, thinking that maybe he's blown his shot. Also thinking maybe I'm going to prison now if this doesn't work out.
So what kind of things does Jason fill his day with?
Honestly... Right now, he's been reading a lot because you can get lost in another world pretty easy if you got a good book. He's also been watching a lot of TV to try to get a little more fluent with the language as it is used by the people that live here versus actual textbook English. Nobody that lives and speaks in an English-speaking country does it by the textbook.
So... You do have your own room, and you have more than that. You have, like, a space where you can exist and not necessarily have to constantly be in contact with Rupert.
That seems like a blessing.
Yeah. He doesn't spend a lot of his time in the house at all.
Mm-hmm.
He works pretty late, but there is a soft knock at your door.
Hello?
The door opens and... Jason, I guess it's time.
Okay. This is still very awkward.
Yeah.
Like he's awkward about it, and Jason doesn't look any more comfortable with it.
So Rupert just kind of takes a seat. Give me an unleash your powers.
All right. And once again, that is plus freak, yes?
Freak, yep.
Ooh, nope. I'm going to mark some potential because that's a 5.
Okay. I was kind of hoping you failed this.
That's never a good thing to hear.
In the past few days, you're very used to, like, Rupert's fear response. Mm-hmm. Pupils dilate, like, very heavy breathing. This time it's different. His face, like, kind of twitches into a smile. And you pull that emotion back out of him. And it feels different. There was this kind of emptiness whenever you would take fear from someone. This is different. It's almost warmer.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you regarding this. That is there other synesthesia that may be experienced along with this when I'm experiencing these emotions or taking them in? Like, is there flavor to this? Is where my mind's just going because it's interesting to consider.
What would be, like, fear? What would be the drawing in fear sensation?
You know what? I think that fear probably tastes sour. Like, if anybody out there has ever had mead, like, there's still that honey essence to it, but there's this weird pickled sour to it as well. And mm-hmm. I think that pickled sour is fear.
This may bring up some other memory-related things.
Oh, okay. Let's go down this path.
This feels and tastes like a home-cooked meal.
Oh, yeah? Just like one of those things that not only is it getting rid of hunger, but it's just, it's warming the cockles.
Yeah.
The cockles, they're very warm right now.
It's comforting in, to you, what would be a strange way considering how you have survived since your transformation.
Can I try to lean into that? Like, you know, the pump up the power, see what this is all about? Because this is new. This is foreign territory. And I'm, at this point, there is no set thing for Jason at all. He's like a tabula rasa. Like, everything that he's establishing is all at the first. It's firsts. It's a lot of firsts trying to rebuild.
Sure. You can give me another Unleash Your Powers. Just all don't right. Fuck this one up.
Joe, why did you say that? Now there's pressure.
Because, hey, Rupert might just die here.
No! Joe?
Uh-huh.
That's a 6.
No!
Yay! Oh. You lean back into this comforting feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that sensation of that home-cooked meal, like, rises, and before you know it's all you can feel, and it's immediately just cut off, and you're in darkness. You wake later.
Where are my surroundings? What do I wake up to?
You're back in your room, but there's kind of like this constant beep, almost, and this is a familiar memory to you of hospital equipment going on.
I'm going to kind of wake up with a start, because I associate hospitals and hospital beeps with very bad things in general. There's an anxiety to the noise of medical equipment as it rolls through its routines and its beeps. So I'm going to try to get myself, like, shoot straight up and look around and survey my scene.
In that kind of moment of waking up, you just see the familiar ceiling and you hear off to the side of you, hey, hey, I think everything's okay.
He's not dead.
What happened?
I'm not entirely sure, but you did something.
It felt different. This was not the normal way that it works.
I mean, comparatively, we've not been doing this for a long time, but it felt different as well. It felt, not to get into how it must have made you feel getting immediately knocked out, but it felt like joy.
I'm very confused.
So am I. But I think we can explore this.
You work for the superhero agency, so I do not know why you... Do they not do research on powers? Is there guides? Surely someone must have had powers like mine or similar at some point in history. There are many heroes.
There is, and now that we know more about your situation, rather than just the tests we took and linking it to Sterile's work, there's definitely room for us to research going forward. You're only out for 30 minutes or so. I just wanted to make sure that... And he, like, switches off the heart rate monitor beside your bed. I just wanted to make sure that you're okay.
I'm going to grab the heart monitor wires that I are extending to my chest and rip them off. I do not like these medical equipment.
I don't think anyone really does. But sometimes it's necessary, and like I said, you are okay.
That sounded a lot more like a question than what I am necessarily comfortable with.
Well, the machine said that you were okay physically, but what did you feel?
It was the same, but very different.
That sounds like an oxymoron.
It is. But it is also true. The sensation was similar. But do you know how tasting, say, fruit versus salt, you are doing the same thing. It is the same process, but the experience is very different. This is the thing that I am experiencing right now.
Do you think that maybe this is a thing that you could train to do? I mean, before you were used to create fear. I say used because that is what Sterile must have intended, but do you think you could explore it more?
I can always try.
That is a virtue of yours.
That is me not wanting to go to jail. And me wanting to find out what happened.
Do you still think you're going to go to jail if what, you fail to make friends with Fifth Watch?
I am terrified of it.
Do you know what happened to Disorder? The larger of your companions on that evening?
I do not know. I have not seen Disorder since then. Do you know, I think that you think I know a lot more about everything going on here.
The question I was asking was more rhetorical.
What is this word? I speak English. I do not know rhetorical? What is this word?
A question I didn't expect you to answer. It's a conversational piece that people use to bridge on to other topics. What happened to Disorder was after we realized what was in his body, and with experience of Sterile's work. We removed it because it was dangerous to him. As such, much in the same case that you are, he's living with someone until he knows what he wants to do with his life.
I already know what I want to do with my life.
And that is why you have been stationed with me. And if Fifth Watch doesn't work out, then we'll try something else. This isn't, Jason, this isn't your only chance.
I do want to help.
I know. And you get to help, and you're allowed to fail as many times as it takes until you're happy with the place you have in life.
You misunderstand me. I do want to help, but that is not what I want in life. What I am looking for is to remember it. I want what is missing back. That is first. I will help along the way, and I will continue to help after. I like the idea of turning what he did to me into a positive thing. But first step first, I want to remember who I am. After he says that, he kind of looks down, and there's a little bit of a quiver in the muscles as he's clearly trying to hold back some tear. And he's going to awkwardly like play it off like a cough or whatever, and like look up and wipe his eyes real quick. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Rupert?
It's okay. I think knowing what you want is far better than what I'm told other people want for you. I might have a line to help you figure out who you are, but it's not something I can do within the parameters of my assignment. But I promise I'm going to do that for you.
And this is going to be a first in that Jason's going to lean over and he's just going to hug Rupert and kind of put his head down.
Aww. See, we couldn't have had this beautiful moment if you'd killed him. Couldn't have had that.
Rupert lives to be bland another day.
What's funny is everybody likes to dunk on Rupert, and now all of a sudden he's like an emotional piece of the set.
He's so boring.
I love Rupert.
Hey guys, welcome back to Fifth Watch. First off, I just want to say thank you for everyone's patience, and thank you to everyone who reached out to me during the past month. It was pretty difficult for me. Depression sucks and ruins productivity on a thing that you really enjoy doing. So sorry we had to take a month off, but I'm sure you'll understand that it's something that I kind of needed to do. I will try and rattle off all of the things very quickly so you can get back into the episode. So, if you would like to find the show on Twitter, we are at Lost Library Cast. You can send us an email via lostlibrarycast@fifthdraw.com. And our theme music is Save the World by Cambo, available on the Free Music Archive. For this month's High Tide recommendation, I would love you to go and check out Horrible Barovia Time. It's first-time DM Leanne guiding her players through the terrible atrocities that are the Curse of Strahd module for D&D 5th edition. Despite the name, it's a very fun listen, and all of the characters are so gosh down earnest, and definitely something that you should check out if D&D is your thing or gothic horror is your thing. I'm a big fan of the Barovia setting personally, and this is a really fun playthrough of that module. You can find them on Twitter at Horrible Barovia, or by going on YouTube and looking for Horrible Barovia Time, or by following the link that is in the episode description for this podcast. Thanks, and I'll let you get back to the show.
I think it's time for Mitch to go to the mall.
Mitch is incredibly familiar with this mall. He's an in-person shopper. He'll do stuff online if he's looking for specialized items.
If he's having trouble, he needs a suit right away. They don't have it in his size in the store. But he prefers the store. He likes to touch the suits. He likes to physically slide his credit card through the machine. He likes the tactile suit. What?
I'm loving this.
The joy of sliding your credit card through the machine. That is the first time I've ever had that pointed out as a joy. I love it. I love it so much. Also, Mitch doesn't buy off the rack. There's no way he buys off the rack.
He will get things tailored later, but they have to be close enough to his size to begin with. He'll start at the department stores. He likes the tactile and like the sensory effects of the entire mall. And so he's very protective of this mall. And I would like to think that he has already hacked into the mall's security cam. Just like years ago. That was probably the first thing he tried to hack into. I wonder what happens at the mall at night. When he, like, before he could, like, drive or get around, or his dad let him go out at night by himself, he's like, I wish I was at the mall. I'm just gonna look at the security camera feed of the mall and feel like I'm there.
That's so good.
So he's already, it's probably like an app on his phone, Mall Watch. So he's got that already open, and he's just acting like he's just, I don't know, fiddling with it, playing a game or something, as he's leaning against this fountain, trying to keep an eye on everything, because he's not exactly sure what's going to go down.
So, pretty obviously, you see a girl approaching you. She is black, she's got this kind of long, kind of curly hair, she's wearing like a band shirt that she's very clearly like, cut into a crop top and cut the sleeves off in skinny jeans, and she's wearing like pink flowery bandana, and she is walking right up to you with she's got a pink leather kind of clutch that she is holding as she walks towards you.
Are you the friend of a friend?
Yeah, I'm Sky. I don't know if Jay said we met, but we did.
I would have informed everyone in the group chat, so including Gwen, the kind of bare bones of what happened, that I'd met with them, that there were children that the God Rangers were helping. But I did mention Sky specifically. I didn't say what she did or what she could do, but I did mention that a girl named Sky was very helpful and was good. So Mitch has heard the name.
Okay. He's kind of trying to build himself up to be maybe a little bit more than what he is, because he's unsure of the situation, and if in doubt, be intimidating.
Can you give me a superior roll?
Okay. Oh no, oh, it's Snake Eyes.
No!
Cool.
I've got high superior, but nobody's is that high.
Mark your potential. Great.
So she kind of takes a seat on the fountain. Kind of pats to the side of her.
I'm going to lay down a handkerchief and then sit on it. Like, I love to look at the fountain, but who knows what's actually there on that stonework.
Even with the failed, like, superior role, you definitely do notice her, the reaction of, what the fuck? This is like a 16-year-old kid in a full suit. Cool, I guess.
Mitch has long tuned that out.
Yeah. So she opens up this clutch and unfolds, like, this manila folder and hands it to you.
I'm going to go ahead and open it, carefully. I don't expect there to be a bomb in it, but, you know, better safe than exploded to bits. What's inside the envelope?
Inside the envelope, it's like a paperclip-together document. The first page says, Dear Side. There are several photos of their outfit in action shots. There's kind of a list of significant murders or crimes.
Mm-hmm. Many of which I imagine Mitch might have already made himself familiar with. The death of Pink Ranger Cupid, first of all. And I think he's done some research on the major foes that seem to be coming up in the city.
On the next page, there are several notes of, like, places Deicide lives. There are several apartments downtown that they are known to frequent. There are transcripts of several conversations they've had with utilities and realtors, as well as things much more mundane like pizza delivery and all that sort of thing.
This is a lot, Sky. This is pretty comprehensive. How did you get all of this?
I have my ways. Look, if I told you, you'd get really sketchy. But if I don't tell you and I say that things are sketchy, you'll probably assume less than what I can do.
He thinks she already knows, of course, but he wants to give her a little show of the technopath powers that he has. So he just sort of looks back towards the fountain and the lights are flashing bright pink. They're like flashing on and off at her. And I think she'll like stop and look at him and turn to Mitch and then turn back and they're flashing at her again. So that like she knows, yes, he's making that happen. That's not just a weird coincidence. It's not like,
yeah.
Well, it's 8:10 p.m. It's pink time.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of looks around at the scene and just kind of idly to herself says, you really are as good as they say you are.
This is basic stuff. This is introductory level. I can do a lot more. I want to know what it is you can do. Really. How did you get this? What else can you do?
I guess Jay's kept it a secret then. I don't want you to be scared. I'm not using any of this on you guys. I can tap into every cell phone in the city.
Well, so could I if I tried hard enough. How? Are you another technopath?
She just kind of taps her head a couple times. That's all it takes.
Is it just technology? Are you more techno or path?
I'm not sure I've ever qualified it like that. Basically, the world is my sonar.
Okay. And I'm going to point to, across the parking lot, there's a mom loading shopping bags into the back of the car, and there's a little kid, sort of kicking his feet back and forth, sitting in the back seat, and he's watching a video on a tablet. And I'm going to turn to her, and I'm going to say, make that play. What would have been Mitch's, like, favorite, like, kids cartoon? I don't know if this is his favorite, but this is, like, the funniest option. Make that play the Rocket Power theme song right now.
Just kind of squints her eyes. You weren't listening, were you? I can tell you that she is very angry about her husband cheating on her. And that's why she put the tablet on, so the kid doesn't hear her yell at him.
So you can't make technology do things like I can. You just read. Like, you've heard her on the phone?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. This is everything you've read. This is everything you've found for Deicide.
There's a page you haven't got to.
Oh, I'm not done. Okay. Okay, Joe. What's on the next page?
She places her hand over it, like, before you turn it. I need you to know, time is fucked.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay. And she takes her hand away.
Time is fucked. Alright, I feel like it's not advice. Like, I feel like I've heard my dad say that, like, on his birthday when he has, like, a couple too many drinks. Time marches on. We figure it out. We keep going forward. 17, I've got a whole life ahead of me, and that's a lot of time to deal with whatever the heck this last page means.
She didn't say anything, but her lips thin as she kind of looks at you expectantly.
Just like, frustratedly, like, flips the page up.
The last page says, Deicide, real name, Gwendolyn Smith.
This is an elaborate prank on somebody, me, Gwyn, Jace, who the heck knows. I don't know what this is about. I I've been around Gwyn enough to know he's a good guy. He's my friend. And he definitely has not killed all these people. Killed Cupid.
Time is fucked.
This is wormhole nonsense.
I don't know, I never pay attention to string theory or diverging world lines. This is just something that's true about the world. There are two Gwens running around. One of them I can't find. The other, I know where they are.
You know where Deicide is right now.
Unless he decides not to be there anymore.
Deicide is Gwen. Speed is definitely a factor. You're right. Does Deicide know that you know this?
Honestly, I try not to think about it.
You try not to think about it? Like, you don't know if you're in danger or not. You don't know if the sonar you're bouncing off, somebody realizes there's a thing bouncing off of them. They realize there's something going out. Somebody listening?
There are smart people in the world. But I choose not to spend my time thinking about how murderers might know what I'm doing.
I can't argue with it. It still concerns me. If you ever feel like you're in danger, you know you can contact us. You can contact Jace, any of us. Like, I can't... I'm gonna tell you, I can't fight. But I know people who can.
I did, at one point. And now he's gone away for a long time. So maybe I will ask you guys for some help.
We kind of come as a package deal, all of us. At least that's what I thought it was. It's not what I thought it was becoming.
Alan over here nodding as Jace. Yes.
Well, if that's the case, me and Iris come as a package deal too. And she kind of nods over your shoulder.
Who's back there?
There is a girl with black hair kind of tied back in kind of a oversized hoodie. And given that signal, she walks over.
Mitch is a little saddened, a little heart-pinged to be like, oh, look, you've got your very close companion with a giant hood on. How how nice for you. I don't know where mine is. Mine isn't texting me back. But he also extends a hand to Iris.
She shakes and then makes some hand motions at Sky. Does Mitch know sign language?
Oh, okay. I thought she was about to, like, cast a spell or something.
Yeah. She was doing some Doctor Strange shit.
I think Mitch, at some point in his academic career, probably has had to take a language elective and would have picked sign language because he can use Google Translate for everything else. Sign language is a little trickier to suddenly translate like that. So I think that would have been the one he picked. I think he can speak some, like, elementary basics.
So you gather that she signs over, tell him I'm sorry? And then Sky, she says she's sorry, presumably about what happened to Brazen's funeral. She signs in the affirmative.
Oh, I could read the basics of that. I don't want to tell you and have you expect to. And then I turn, like, back around in a panic to Sky, like, could she read? Do I? And I think I sign back very fumbly in whatever I can remember from elementary school, and it's probably wrong. But is it, like...
You accidentally asked where the bathroom was.
But I don't remember that's what it is.
And signs in the background. Which is great for an audio medium.
Yeah, Mitch definitely needs a refresher course on this. Can she understand me speaking?
Iris signs back the approximation of he's very sloppy.
I don't think I would recognize the word for sloppy. Seriously. he's been thrown way off his game.
She's used to being translated.
Okay.
You would know her as Minerva.
Oh. Okay. I've never run into a former, battle foe out in public at the mall before.
Guy snorts and goes, wait, but you know Jason?
Jason's a special case. Jason is our new case that we're working on. And I understand, I've come to understand Jason's situation, and I understand if Minerva was in a similar situation. I know we don't always get to choose what we do with our powers.
You read, like, her facials as kind of an apology, but she relaxes out of that and is kind of a bit more open. And Sky kind of reading maybe the tension. So apparently I might be a target. Do you want to get someone in to protect me?
I think we need a neutral external party in on this. If this is... He looks down at the file folder. If this is real, stuff's going to get intense. We need an adult. I can call the greatest man I have ever known. I know him as Dad.
Yep, knew that was coming.
You know him as Butch Carver, number one henchman in the city.
Sky rubs her forehead for a bit and, well, I guess we're going back to yours.
Okay. I have leftover pizza. It would be nice to have somebody else to eat it with me.
And we follow the three of you as you walk back to Mitch's house.
I do not like these medical equipment. I'm losing the accent. It's been a mess tonight. It's all over the place, but we're just going to roll with
it. It's okay. I believe in you.
I know you do, buddy.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.